As a Brahmin from Avanti Desh said, I shall cross over the insurmountable ocean of nescience by being firmly fixed in the service of the lotus feet of Krishna. This was approved by the previous acharyas who were fixed in firm devotion to the Lord Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In connection with this verse, which is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 23, verse 57, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that of the 64 items required for rendering devotional servants, acceptance of the symbolic marks of sannyas is a regulative principle. If one accepts the sannyas order, his main business is to devote his life completely to the service of Mukunda, Krishna. If one does not completely devote his mind and body in the service of the Lord, he does not actually become a sannyasi. It is not simply a matter of changing dress. In Bhagavad Gita 6.1, it is also stated, Anashrita karma palam karayam karma karoti ya sasanyasi cha yogi cha. One who works devotedly for the satisfaction of Krishna is a sannyasi. The dress is not sannyas, but the attitude of service to Krishna is. The word Paratma Nishta means being a devotee of Lord Krishna, Paratma. The Supreme Person is Krishna. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha. Those who are completely dedicated to the lotus feet of Krishna in service are actually sannyasis. As a matter of formality, the devotee accepts the sannyas dress as previous acharyas did. He also accepts the three dandas. Later, Vishnu Swami considered that accepting the dress of a tridandi was paratma nishta. Therefore, sincere devotees add another danda, the jiva danda, to the three existing dandas. The Vaishnav sannyasi is known as a tridandi sannyasi. The Mayavad sannyasi accepts only one danda, not understanding the purpose of the tridanda. Later, many persons in the community of Shiva Swami gave up the Atmanishta, devotional service of the Lord, and followed the path of Shankaracharya. Instead of accepting the 108 names, those in the Shiva Swami Sampradaya follow the path of Shankaracharya and accept the 10 names of sannyas. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the then existing order of sannyas, namely Ekadanda, he still recited a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam about the Tridanda sannyas accepted by the Brahmin of Advantipur. Indirectly, he declared that within the Ekadanda, one danda, four dandas existed as one. Accepting Ekadanda sannyas without Paratma Nishtam, devotional service to Lord Krishna, is not acceptable to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In addition, according to the exact regulative principles, one should add the Jiva Danda to the Tridanda. These four dandas bound together as one are symbolic of unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. Hare Krishna. You're very grateful today on behalf of His Divine Grace, Sesi.
One second.
Today, on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Parampara, our very dear Abhay Prabhu is going to be taking the vows of the renounced order. And Srila Prabhupada, in this very historical verse, is explaining the spirit of sannyas. To completely take shelter of the loving service of the Lord. It is not simply a question of hairstyle or dress or what we carry in our hand. These are symbols which are meant to facilitate the true spirit, which is a focus on complete devotion to the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he recited the verse, Naham vipro na cha narapatir na pivaisya na shudro, naham varani na cha grihapatir nova na shtovatir ra. That I am not a Brahmani Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra, nor am I a Brahmachari Grihastha Vanaprastha Sannyas. Gopi Parthur Padakamala Yora Dasa 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 Anudas. My only aspiration, my eternal position, is to be the servant of the servant of the servant of Lord Krishna. And to the degree we dedicate our body, mind, words, and life in that spirit of being servant of the servant of the servant is true sannyas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, who came especially for the purpose to teach us by his own example how to follow the very essential teachings of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavat. Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam raja. The Gita culminates with abandoning all varieties of religion and just surrendering to Krishna. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his example, taught us ideally how we could do so. When he was a young man, he was married, and he showed us the ideal life of total surrender as a grihastha, which was absolutely perfect and complete. In his example, he did not disclose his ecstatic love for Krishna openly until after he connected to his spiritual master in disciplic succession, Srila Ishwara Puri. At that time, he was married to Vishnupriya. He was taking care of his mother, and he was spreading the Sankirtan movement, first in the house of Srivas. And although he was a grihastha, when the devotees were persecuted while following his instructions to chant the holy names with all sincerity, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu encourage them in every way. He would go into the streets, and wherever he would hear the chanting of the holy names, he would embrace those people who were chanting. He would bow down to them. He would put garlands with his own hands and anoint their bodies with sandalwood. And with tears in his eyes, he said, he would say, "You are my life and soul." This is how he encouraged. And when those same people were being harassed by the Chankazi, 100 soldiers were in the streets every day, beating, plundering, imprisoning anyone who was chanting Krishna's names. Then he led the first historical civil disobedience movement at Ipoh. And Srila Prabhupada explains, what was the power of Nimai Pandit? He was a Grihastha, living at home. But by his one order, everyone come and assemble with a torch. Millions and millions of people came. It was a kirtan like no other kirtan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing ecstatically along with Nityananda Prabhu. And even Chankazi surrendered his life. This was his fearless dedication to serve Mukunda as a Grihastha. And he taught the example that at any given time, he would just bring people to his home for prasad, sadhus, swamis, Vaishnavas, whoever. And Vishnupriya and Sachi Mata would just immediately cook. Sometimes with no notice, he would bring 20, 30 people, and they were honored to just cook for them. So he was showing the perfect example of Grihastha. To serve prasad, to spread the glories of the holy name fearlessly. But for the purpose of reaching those people he could not reach as a Grihastha, he accepted sannyas. Lord Chaitanya took sannyas for many reasons, but one was to reach the people that hated him, that were blaspheming him, that were threatening him, as their eternal loving father and mother, Radha and Krishna. He wanted to deliver even them. And in those days, because people would bow down to sannyasis, because he was God, if they bowed down to him and listened to the words he said, they would be liberated. So from that point, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set the perfect example of a sannyasi. First, he set the perfect example of how to perfect one's life as a Grihastha, and then he did it as a sannyasi. And just after taking sannyas from Keshav Bharati Maharaj in Katwa, as he was traveling to Vrindavan, he chanted this particular sloka, which has been meditated upon and recited by sannyasis since that time as a regulative principle practically, which describes the very essence. And I'll read it again. I shall cross over the insurmountable ocean of nescience by being firmly fixed in the service of the lotus feet of Krishna. This was approved by the previous acharyas who were fixed in firm devotion to the Lord, Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The very essence of sannyas is revealed. To dedicate one's life and soul to serve Krishna. And Mahaprabhu did it in such a way the greatest service to Krishna is to give others Krishna. As Shruti Dharma Prabhu explained, the idea of sannyas is one is not encumbered by domestic responsibilities, and for this reason one can make the whole world one's family, and to feel responsible to serve every living being by giving Krishna consciousness. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Jagannath Puri, according to Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya warned him that the tendency is when one takes sannyas, one starts to consider himself God, because people bow down to you, people give you special gifts, people offer you honor and respect. And in this way, one's spiritual life potentially could be ruined. And Lord Chaitanya took him very seriously. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, the spirit of sannyas is to be the servant of the servant of the servant, wholeheartedly, with no diversion. It's not to be the master of the master of the master. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught through his devotees the perfect example too. Among grihasthas, who are on the highest platform of surrender, there was Advaitacharya, Nityananda Prabhu, Srivas Thakur, Shivananda Sen, Maharaj Pratapa Rudra, and so many others. And then we have his examples of those in the renounced order. Swarup Damodar Goswami was one of his two most intimate disciples, or associates. He was a sannyasi. And Ramananda Rai, who was equal to him in his service, was a grihastha. Then we have Gadadhar Pandit, Haridas Thakur, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. Can any of us say which was better? Can we even compare? They were all on the highest platform. Some were grihasthas, some were sannyasis, because they were totally surrendered. Which means they dedicated their body, their mind, their words, and their life to the loving service of the Lord. And to be instruments of compassion, to give Krishna's love, Lord Chaitanya's love, to the world. Srila Prabhupada also lived the ideal life of a grihastha for so many years. And when he took sannyas, it was specifically for the purpose of being an instrument to spread his Gurudev's mission all over the world without encumbrance. He didn't need to do that for his own purification. He took sannyas as an act of selfless service. And Srila Prabhupada explains very interestingly that in our line of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, the tradition of renunciation was generally, over the years, since the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to accept the Babaji line of renunciation. That white dress of a Babaji indicates Paramhamsa, the highest platform of devotional service. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur saw that so many people who were accepting this Paramhamsa order of life were not really on that platform, but they thought that they were just because of their dress. Because that Paramhamsa order of Babaji is outside the Varnashram system. But Prabhupada says Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur accepted sannyas, which is a lower position, within Varnashram, just to teach the principle of humbling oneself before one's acharyas. His Gurudev, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, was Paramhamsa Babaji. His father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, at the end became a Paramhamsa Babaji. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati could have, but he wanted to take a humbler position within the Varnashram system to show by his example what was necessary for the time. Because he saw that the concepts were being misused, misinterpreted. So actually, in our line, sannyas is an act of total humility. And the crest jewel of all sannyasis within our line, or those in the renounced door, was Raghunath Das Goswami, who was our Prayojana Acharya, teaching us how to attain the highest ecstasies of the love of the gopis for Krishna. After he left his home, he left everything with great trouble. What renunciation? His parents were practically billionaires, and he was the only heir to the whole fortune. He was young. He was handsome. He had a wife like an angel. He had everything that a man could possibly want in this world, in quantity and quality beyond anyone's imagination. And yet, time and again, he was trying to escape from it. He considered it like a prison because he wanted to serve wholeheartedly Lord Chaitanya's mission. Now, Shivananda Sen, Srivas Thakur, they didn't do that. It's not that you have to do that. In fact, Nityananda Prabhu was kind of a renunciate, and Lord Chaitanya told him to get married. So we have to understand that different people, according to their nature, according to the time, the place, the circumstance, and everything else, we have different ways of serving the Lord. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed, Grihe Thako, Vane Thako, Sada Hari Bole Thako, Suke Duke Bulo Nako, Vadane Hari Nam Korore, Gai Goda Madhu Sware. This is Lord Chaitanya's mission. Whether you're Grihastha with family at home, or whether you're a sannyasi traveling around or in the forest, just take the name of Krishna. Krishna is not different than his name. Surrender, take shelter. And you will be free from the dualities of this material world. So Raghunath Das Goswami left everything behind. He came to Puri. And he was so humble. Even though he was directly in contact with Lord Chaitanya physically, because the day he arrived, Lord Chaitanya put him under the care of Swarup Damodar Goswami, who was Lord Chaitanya's personal secretary. So he was right at the side of his personal secretary. But Raghunath Das Goswami was so humble. He practically never said a word to Lord Chaitanya. He felt, I'm the servant of the servant. And whatever inquiries he had for Lord Chaitanya, he would present it to Swarup Damodar Goswami. And one day, according to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Swarup Damodar Goswami approached Lord Chaitanya with Raghunath Das Goswami at his side and said, Raghunath has a question for you. He's given up everything in this world and he's taken to the renounced order of life, but he doesn't know why. What is his duties? Here is Raghunath Das Goswami asking, what are the duties of one in a renounced order? He's our Prayojanacharya. And Lord Chaitanya gave a system of what renunciation is that could equally be followed by a grihastha to attain perfection. or a brahmachari, or a vanaprastha. He didn't just say, follow in the footsteps of gopis. Meditate on Krishna's lila. That was the culmination of a whole system. First, he said, this is what you have to do. Gramya katana shunibe, gramya varatana kohibe. First thing, don't hear or speak gossip. No prajalpa. Don't criticize others. Don't talk about the faults and the fall downs and this and that of other people. It's gramya katha. Don't talk about all this mundane stuff. Srila Prabhupada said this prajalpa. It consists of speaking negatively about anybody unless it's for a very positive purpose to protect other people or to help those people. It shouldn't just be done. And to speak about all mundane affairs, unless our speaking of mundane affairs really has a very practical value for devotional service. Such prajalpa, Prabhupada says, when you speak it, your inclination for devotion leaves you through your mouth with your prajalpa. You lose your propensity for Krishna consciousness when we speak gossip. That's the first thing. And then he says that you should eat very simple, and you should dress very simple. Which really means what Srila Prabhupada said in regard to deity worship, that when you dress Krishna nicely, if you're doing it the right consciousness, the result is you'll have no sense of need to dress yourself nicely. You may dress yourself nicely for whatever social purposes, but it's not for yourself. The gopis dress nicely, but only for Krishna, not for themselves. Krishna liked them like that. But to the degree we give Krishna pleasure, to that degree we lose the desire for selfish pleasure ourselves. So the only way to be happy not dressing nicely or eating nicely is by experiencing the higher taste. Lord Chaitanya would see a beautiful offering to Lord Jagannath and he would say, just give me some rice and steamed vegetables, boiled vegetables. I'm happy seeing what Jagannath is eating. That's all I require. So real renunciation is our focus is what makes Krishna beautiful, what makes Krishna happy. And that is our happiness. Amani na manade hoy Krishna nam sadalabe. Braje rada Krishna seva manase kuribe. This is the next instruction Lord Chaitanya gave to Raghunath Das Goswami. Offer all respect to others and do not expect any respect for yourself. This is renunciation. And in this spirit, constantly chant the name of Krishna. And then he comes to the point, when you do all these things, then in your mind meditate on Radha Krishna and Vrindavan. And then he culminated his instructions about renunciation with a very, very crucial verse. Which means this verse, whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you are, however you are, this is real renunciation. Lord Chaitanya told Raghunath Das Goswami, Trinadapi Sunichena, Taror Ibasi Hishnuna, Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. to be humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. In this spirit, one could chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. This was Mahaprabhu's final teaching to Raghunath Das Goswami in regard to what a sannyasi is. And one who lives by this principle is actual sannyasi. And Raghunath Das Goswami lived by that principle. And Lord Chaitanya, he said to Raghunath Das Goswami, actually, Swarup Damodar Goswami knows better than me all these things. But since you asked me, I answered your question. And what was Raghunath Das Goswami's standard of renunciation? We cannot imitate him. Prabhupada said, if you imitate, you die. You can't survive. But the principle, when he was living in Puri, even though his parents were sending him large amounts of money for food and for shelter and for anything he wanted, he would just give it all to the devotees. And he just wore a little copan. And eventually, he was just eating the decomposed rice that the cows would spit out because they couldn't tolerate the taste of it. And he would collect it late at night and take the inner hard portion of it and wash it. And that's what he ate. And when Lord Chaitanya heard about this from Swarup Damodar Goswami, he came to Raghunath Das Goswami's kutir right at the time he was about to eat his prasad. And Lord Chaitanya said, I heard you are eating very nice prasad. Please share some with me. And Raghunath Das was no possibility of giving that to the Lord. But the Lord knew right where it was, and he grabbed it and ate a handful of it. And he was about to take another one, and Swarup Damodar Goswami said, no, that's enough. Please don't eat any more of this. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that I have tasted so many cakes and so many items of Jagannath's prasad, but never have I tasted anything that is so satisfying as what Raghunath Das Goswami is eating every day. What was Lord Chaitanya tasting? He wasn't tasting the hard little kernels of inside decomposed rice. He was tasting the spirit of Raghunath Das Goswami's humility. Mahaprabhur Bhaktaganer Vairagya Pradhan. In this particular instance, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells that renunciation is the basic principle that sustains the lives of the followers of Lord Chaitanya. And when the Lord sees such renunciation in his devotees, he is very satisfied. And what is that spirit of renunciation? To make our happiness in making Krishna happy. To make our happiness in making the spiritual master, the Vaishnavas, happy. To make our happiness making the conditioned souls happy by giving them Krishna. Being the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. So we are very happy because all of us who know Abhay Prabhu have been observing him and associating with him over the years, have seen that he's not ambitious for position. He's not ambitious for sense gratification. He just wants to serve. It's not that he volunteered to become a sannyasi. He was practically pushed into becoming a sannyasi. Because everybody saw, you're already a sannyasi, just be honest. Just do it. And he says, whatever makes you happy, I'll do. That's why he's here, just to make us happy. It's actually very beautiful. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the three great dangers: Kamini, Kanaka, Pratishta. Sexual desire, the desire for wealth, and the desire for prestige. They are like plunderers that can steal away our devotion. And whoever we are, we have to be very, very careful to not be plundered by the sexual drive, by the desire for wealth, or the desire for prestige. And they're all very dangerous. But for sannyasi, if you get caught up with the prestige thing, usually the other two follow behind. Therefore, trinada bisunichena, amanina manadina. If we always consider ourselves the humble servant of the servant, sannyasis traditionally would go to the house of grihasthas to serve them. They would come as beggars. They wouldn't come as masters. They would come as beggars. And it's interesting, here in London, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he sent some of his topmost learned, renounced sannyasis to London to preach Lord Chaitanya's mission. And if you read the instructions he gave them, it's very interesting. He said, you are going to a country where there's a lot of education, where there's a lot of accomplishments, and who are you? You are just triple staff beggars. You're coming with a begging bowl, with straw between your teeth. You are very learned. You are very accomplished. And in this way, with folded hands, you offer honor and respect to all these people in London. And when they're very happy by your honor and respect, then you take out your begging bowl and you say, now, please, I beg you, forget what you know and hear the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. That was his mood. Sannyasis would go door to door as beggars, and then people would open their hearts and their homes, and they would enlighten them. And Srila Prabhupada, the crest jewel of all sannyasis, he signed his letter to Krishna, your insignificant beggar. Make me a puppet and let me dance as you want me to dance. Srila Prabhupada, that Jaladuta prayer is the ultimate expression of what a sannyasi should aspire for. And we are in that line. So we must be very careful. We must be strict. We should not take Maya lightly. She's very powerful. And she'll try to come in like a needle and come out like a nuclear bomb. The plow thing was for, you know, the old days. Now she comes in like a germ and comes out like a nuclear bomb. So we have to be very careful to really appreciate and honor the association of devotees and not make aparads and give our life, our soul, body, mind, words, and life to serve. Srila Prabhupada, great sannyasi, was cooking for the devotees, serving the devotees, feeding the devotees. And in the same spirit, he would sit on his vyasapsan and accept guru puja from devotees. Whatever was required to uplift our consciousness, he was ready to do. Some time ago, I spoke to one person. He never became a devotee. He never became initiated, at least externally as we knew it. He was kind of a little crazy. But in 1965 and early 66, he met Prabhupada at a yoga studio, and Prabhupada would say, "Would you like me to cook lunch for you?" And they'd go shopping. Prabhupada never went to a grocery store before in the West. He was quite amazed. But more than him being amazed, the people in the grocery store was amazed. Because I don't know how it is in England, because I never buy anything. But, you know, everything has a price tag on it. And they go to, then they just, in the cash register, this much money. And Prabhupada said, you know, they said, "Sir, this will be $8.20. Prabhupada said, "I'll give you $3. The lady never saw anyone like Prabhupada, saffron robes, shaved head, tilak. And she said, "Sir, you know, it's $8, you see, this is what the price tags say." He says, "It's not worth that much. I'll give you $3. And he would give her $3. She said, "Sir, we don't do things like that in America. I don't know how you..." He said, no, "I know what this is worth. I buy these things all the time. I'm not going to..." Because in India, that's the way you did it. You would negotiate the price. And this person told me that Prabhupada was so gentle and sweet, but so firm, that she took her purse and took like the extra $5 out of her purse and put it in the cash register. She said, "You know, sir, take it. This is power. And then this person told me Prabhupada would go to his apartment and he would cook like a 5-course lunch. And then Prabhupada would serve him and they would sit and eat together, and then Prabhupada and him would wash the pots and wash the dishes together. Then they would both lay down on their left sides. Prabhupada taught him that process. And then he would tell him about Krishna. So Prabhupada, sannyasi, he was just willing to serve in whatever way would help people to become Krishna conscious. And later on, when he was installing deities and having Vyas Pujas, he was just doing the needful to make us Krishna conscious. He was dancing according to how Krishna wanted him to dance in every situation. It's that selfless surrender that is real renunciation. And one of the great reasons Lord Chaitanya taught that people take sannyas is to give a standard and an inspiration to the brahmacharis as well as the grihasthas. In many ways, we take sannyas to serve the grihastha community. That was Lord Chaitanya's principle. So that we can preach to them, so we can serve them in these ways. And in turn, the grihasthas want to serve the sannyasis because they appreciate the level of their sacrifice and renunciation. So in this way, this mutual spirit create a Vaishnav community. Varnashram is about a social body. The head, the arms, the belly, the legs. We all play our role for the purpose of serving everyone else and bringing the whole body to a healthy Krishna conscious state. Abhay Prabhu has really been such a shining example. Last night I was speaking to one very, very senior devotee, and he said, for Abhay Prabhu, he's always been a sannyasi in heart. He's just never wanted anything for himself. So simple, so humble, so eager to serve, so sober, today's ceremony is really recognizing the wonderful qualities and encouraging this very, very special soul. And also for our own benefit and for the benefit of society, for people to more deeply appreciate and recognize these qualities of his humble service attitude, which will surely help unite us and help us to strive for that essence. Abhay is, he took his birth here in Britain, served under Krishna Dharma Prabhu 16 years, we heard, in Manchester. Didn't have all that much association with other brahmacharis. But he was always enthusiastic because he just loved to serve. And now, by the request of others, Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj, he comes to Russia. And when I see him in Russia, he goes to the most difficult, faraway places. I met him last year in Moscow, and the next day he was going to Siberia. And then he was going somewhere else. And for a 60-year-old man, that type of traveling isn't easy. And for those of you who've been to Russia, the transportation systems there, they're not very advanced. But he's willing. Whether there's two or three devotees in a cold place, way up in the top of the world, or whether there's hundreds of people, thousands of people in a festival, he's grateful to serve. And we are very grateful to you, Abhay Prabhu. And we've all come here together today to honor and respect your life of devotion and to offer our sincerest prayers and gratitude as you enter into this sannyas order. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. We'll continue today. Of course, I forgot to mention today is a very auspicious day as well. Today is the appearance day of Sripad Ramanujacharya. Very, very auspicious day to be taking sannyas. Prahlad Nanda Swami had written to me and said that within ISKCON, this initiation ceremony into sannyas of Abhay would make it one, this would be the 100th sannyasi. So we've reached 100 here with Abhay Prabhu. And as his name indicates, fearless. So I'm going to request Chandramouli Maharaj, if we can just raise his mic to speak. And then followed by His Holiness Atmanirin Maharaj, and then Bhakti Vigyan Goswami. Maybe we can close those two doors, everyone can come in, because the traffic will move quite a lot in the corridors now. Perhaps if everyone shifts a little further in, that will give them room to come in. That's it. Chaitanya, if you can just keep those closed, thank you. Hare Krishna.
Om Vishnu Vadaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale. Shrimakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaudavani Pucharine. Nirasesa Sunyavadi Pastyatyade Satarine. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktarindam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I would like to begin by profusely from the bottom of my heart and thanking His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj for such a powerful and inspiring talk on the principles of sannyas and the qualities and glories of Abhay Prabhu. Thank you, Maharaj. I can say that I've been to many sannyas ceremonies where Maharaj has spoken. Last year I was at Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj's sannyas ceremony, and before then Bhakti Sundar Madhava within the last 2 years. And each time I hear about the principles of sannyas and the responsibilities of sannyas and the consciousness that is necessary in order to practice sannyas in the most pleasing and proper way, I feel like, you know, I'm the person who's taking sannyas, because it's so purifying to hear these things over and over again, because we have a tendency to forget as we become, we go on with our day-to-day service and devotional life. I don't know if I can really add much philosophical, you know, principles to what Maharaj said, because he covered everything that I could possibly conceive of. But I can say that, in response, or what we say, in relationship to Maharaj's statements about Raghunath Das Goswami, that what Prabhupada was teaching in terms of sannyas is that really means there's no question of looking back. One time he was speaking about these principles to, I think it was Hridayananda Maharaj, and other devotees were there also. And Prabhupada said that if you're out preaching and you're out traveling and you're going to different places, you will meet various types of people and various types of material arrangements. And some people will be very wealthy and very well-to-do and also have very nice material arrangements and also very nice relationships with their wife and family. He said, if you think that, you know, I could have had this too if I didn't take this sannyas, if you just look towards that or even think like that, he says, you're fallen. So it's really a fine line, because the opportunities that present itself in terms of our day-to-day life and preaching is so wide and so variegatedness and so full of, when we say, what we say from the material point of view, very ideal. But in the same principle, that we have to understand that everything in this material world belongs to Krishna, and everything is for Krishna's pleasure, including ourselves, as Maharaj so perfectly described, that we are, as devotees, but especially within the realms order of life, meant to give ourselves completely to the service of the Lord for the pleasure of the Lord and for the upliftment. Maharaj would say this, I would listen to this when he would speak this many times, that how, that you have no private life anymore. You belong to others. And I was always meditating on that. How do I belong to others? I still have my own concerns, my own apparent needs. But when you think about it deeply, that when you give yourself to others in the spirit of devotion, as directed by the Acharyas, for the pleasure of the Lord, you actually fulfill all your needs beyond what you can possibly conceive of that you need for yourself. In other words, as Maharaj says, the greatest satisfaction is to give happiness and pleasure to others by preaching the glories of others and seeing others take that. And when we see others take that, we are trying to give. That is happiness. That is the greatest happiness, because it's the perfection of what we're trying to do. So, the sannyas order means, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj says, you're socially dead. There's nothing left. Nothing coming in, nothing going out materially. And I can see from my experiences over the years of coming here and associating with Abhay, he has all these qualities. Of course, I don't know him as well as many do, but from my limited experiences and our interaction, he's genuinely humble and very, very kind and generous. And I can speak in relationship to my own experience, how sometimes I would come here and there would be no place to stay. And they would say, you can stay in Abhay's room. He'll go somewhere else. And I would think, well, I'm pushing him out. But they say, no, this is what he wants. He wants you to have his place. Because there was no other place to stay. And he would go to the ashram and stay. I mean, you might think, well, it's a little thing. But it shows his kindness and his concern for others. And as a preacher, that's the quality that makes our preaching effective. Our philosophical understanding of scriptures is important, but unless it's backed with compassion, as Maharaj said, and kindness and concern with others, it's just pretense, or it's just some good learning without the essence of that knowledge being lived. And I saw that with Abhay. Yesterday he came to my room. And we sat down and we talked. We were just talking a little bit about his moving forward in this ashram. And I was observing him very closely, just to see what was his mood. And you know, he was accepting it as a responsibility. And I could see he was a little bit concerned that it is something that is a great responsibility. So he was looking for some encouragement. He was looking for someone to explain more to him about that. So we talked nicely. But when he left, I realized this man is really humble. And that was my opinion of our meeting. And it's always been like that. He's very humble, but at the same time very dedicated to giving Krishna consciousness to others. He likes to preach. And that's one of the qualities that it takes to become a preacher. You have to like what you're doing. It's not like, it's an austerity, yes, but the austerity is not so much the preaching. It's what it takes to preach. That's the austerity. But the preaching is nectar. And he loves to preach. So on this day, it is a very, very auspicious day. We were speaking, the sannyasis, just before we came. And we were saying that out of all the yatras within the world, the UK yatra has produced 7 sannyasis. I think we listed 7 different persons. And Abhay, I think, is the 7th. So it's a real credit for the yatra and for the devotees here and for the history to show that this place as actually, although we're in the middle of one of the most materialistic metropolitan sense gratification areas in the world, still so many people have moved in that direction of renunciation in a very, what we say, serious way. So that's a real credit to the whole UK yatra. And, of course, Abhay is continuing that tradition nicely. So we thank you very much. But one thing I would like to say, which is again a little philosophical, and which really, when Maharaj hit on the very beginning of his lecture, And by quoting that verse from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gopi Bhattarpada Kamalaya Dasa Dasa Anudas, it's very easy to place the external identities upon ourselves and start to think of us in that way, whether we're guru or sannyasi, temple president, whatever role we're playing in relationship to devotional service, it's simply that what it is. It's a role. If we get caught up in the role and we start expecting people to help us to facilitate that role we're playing, such as looking for honor, prestige, recognition, or whatever comes by that role, then we are actually an illusion, really. So the real identity, the real principle of our existence is that we are a servant. And as Srila Prabhupada explains, the glory of a servant is to become the servant of the servant of the servant. I'm speaking theoretically, not from realization, and I'm honestly saying that because we are meant to come to that standard. It is very difficult to always understand your principle, your identity as a servant, because so many other people will make you forget that by what they do and how they treat you. But if we forget it and we believe, then we become what we say. We are accompanied to that same illusion. So I just want to end by thanking all the devotees for coming to this ceremony, because you're giving your support to this, to Abhay. And it's very important that you give your support, your best wishes, your prayers. Because if we look back in the history of our ISKCON movement, there has been many casualties in this ashram. In fact, the casualties are over 50%. So it is not easy to maintain these vows throughout life. So your prayers, your support, and your, what we say, encouragement, in the sense that we don't think, well, you know, it's not for me. Ultimately, it's for everyone, as Maharaj also mentioned. Maybe not in the formal sense, but in the sense of purifying our heart completely as the principle of the what is required to go back home, back to Godhead. So we all have to come to that platform of complete renunciation of everything material. So thank you very much, Abhay, and thank you all the devotees for being here in this wonderful ceremony. And especially thank you to Radhanath Maharaj for his presence and his deep, deep understanding of the principles of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Om Gyana Trimandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshu Samultam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnabhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Ghor Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, I'm very, very fortunate today that I am here in the assembly of great Vaishnavas. Somehow, maybe, the Lord is very kind upon me that He has allowed me to be in association of great exalted Vaishnavas. This is actually a very, very rare gift of the Lord, to allow someone to come into association of devotees. Especially today, on this day when Abhay Prabhu is formally going to take sannyas. Now, although the ceremony is going to be conducted today, it doesn't mean that he will be a sannyas from today. But he was preparing for becoming sannyas. And this is just a formal officiating ceremony. But it does not mean that he wasn't sannyasi before today. So we have to understand that in all our lives, whether we are in a brahmachari ashram, grihastha ashram, vanaprastha or sannyasa ashram, when we come in contact with devotional service, that means the Lord has very specially shown favor upon us to allow us to come into this very, very sacred inner circle, to be freed from the cycle of birth and death. We all understand from scriptures, we have heard Bhagavad Gita many times, we have read Bhagavad Gita, we have understood from Bhagavatam, many speakers have spoken. And we heard this message from everyone, that this is what we are aspiring for. But to actually come within the inner circle of devotional life, it is indeed a rare gift. And this gift can only be given by a pure devotee of the Lord. And we are very fortunate that Srila Prabhupada, he brought this message to the world and allowed us to enter into the devotional atmosphere without even being qualified to enter devotional life. Because devotional life, as we read from the scriptures and descriptions, it is not very easy. And to be qualified to be a devotee of the Lord is also not very easy. But somehow by the blessings of a pure devotee, he makes us qualified to enter into that realm of devotional life and appreciate devotional life. So today actually we are talking to on the subject matter of sannyas, renunciation. But actually renunciation is for all of us. It doesn't matter which ashram we belong to. Once we become a devotee of the Lord, that means that we are actually devoting ourselves to the Supreme Lord. And when we devote ourselves to the Supreme Lord, then what does that mean? We have actually come to an understanding and conclusion that the Supreme Lord is the master and we are the servant. Many times we hear devotees quote, Jivere Surga Hoy Nitya Krishna Das, that eternally we are servants of Krishna. But do we actually understand that in practice, that I am a servant of Krishna? Being a devotee of Krishna means we are his servant. And what does his servant means? That we do everything for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. So when we are serving the Supreme Lord, it doesn't mean just serving the Supreme Lord directly. Because that is practically impossible to serve the Supreme Lord. The only way we can serve the Supreme Lord is through serving his devotees who are dedicated to serving the Lord. And of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had famously quoted in his line, which of course Maharajis had quoted, Gopi Bhrata Kamalam, Dasu, Dasu, no Das, that becoming servant of the servant of the servant, words are easy to speak. Saying that I am a servant of the servant of the servant is also very easy. It doesn't take great deal to say I am a servant of the servant of the servant. But actually to put it into practice, that is really important. So in our lives, when we come to Krishna consciousness, this opportunity is given to us to become really the servant of the servant of the servant through the practice of devotional life and serving the Vaishnavas. And whether we are in any of the four Vana Ashram institutes, we all have to begin practicing renunciation. Renunciation doesn't mean only for the sannyasis. Of course, sannyasi, when he takes the vows, he is now dedicating that whatever Krishna gives me, I will use it only in the service of the Lord. But for the others, it doesn't mean that there is license that whatever Krishna gives me, one for me and one for you. You know, sometimes we feel that some preachers say that in a household life, we have certain license to enjoy sense enjoyment. That is for Grihamedis, not for devotees. When devotees take the devotional principle, even within the household life, they must dedicate themselves to serving Krishna. That is renunciation. Because renunciation is not just for those who are taking the vows of renunciation. Because as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharma Parijata Mame Kamshana Vajja Aham Tam Sarva Pape Vyo. When he's saying that, he's not saying that only for sannyasis, because he was speaking this to Arjuna. And he was actually telling Arjuna that now you take sannyas. He was speaking to him as a kshatriya, as a householder. So it is for all of us to embrace this spirit of renunciation. And whatever Krishna has given us, we should try to think, how best I can use this in the service of the Lord. And when we do develop that consciousness, then we'll all become renunciates. But in our ISKCON society, when one actually comes forward to take up the responsibility of officially taking sannyas and the renounce order of life, he is now taking great responsibility on his shoulders that by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, I'm going to go out and preach the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with whatever time I have in this world. I have no other business. So that is a very serious commitment he's taking. And as a society, we should give great honor and respect to those who have taken this vow and support them in their journey to preach Krishna consciousness. And I think that today, on this day when Abhay Prabhu is taking the formal commitment, we should all bless him that he becomes a first-class preacher of Krishna consciousness till his last breath, and he fulfills the order of Guru and Gauranga. So, Abhay Prabhu, thank you very much for taking this serious commitment. I hope I can help you in any way. And I hope that you can also help me. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Timirandasya Gyanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I also feel greatly honored and happy to be present in this historical moment. I will speak a few words about Abhay Prabhu, and I can only confirm everything what has already been said about him. he has greatly outstanding qualities, and Srila Radhanath Maharaj made a very interesting point. He said that his acceptance of sannyas may help us to unify our society. What I can see in Abhay Prabhu that he is already doing this in a very great way. One of his wonderful and amazing qualities is that he is completely, totally, absolutely non-controversial person. And wherever he comes, and that means that there is no conflict within himself. He doesn't create any conflict outside. Moreover, he pacifies all the conflicts. He brings together all the conflicting parties. Sometimes he goes to very difficult places where devotees are. The society of devotees is ridden by conflicts. And he just comes there and stays there for a few days and speaks something very non-controversial. And all the controversies which were there somehow or other disappear. Just by his presence, just by his being there. And this is how this unification process works, you know. If somebody has this outstanding quality of being just a dedicated servant, which means no controversies, you know, nobody is really You know, if you are a servant, you are non-controversial. To be a master means to enter into some conflicts and controversies. But if you are a servant, nobody minds it, basically. And that's one of his wonderful qualities and one of his wonderful inputs. And Srila Radhana Maharaj mentioned that he goes to some amazing places. You know, I'm Russian myself. I've never been to these places. I'll probably never go to these places. But he goes far and wide. And he's preaching there. And his preaching has amazing impact in people's heart. Really amazing impact. Wherever I go, you know, people tell me, "Oh, Abhay was here," and it was so nice. And they thank me again and again and again that Abhay was there, and without any exception, everyone just, you know, just loves him. Absolutely, it's amazing how people are also united by his presence. In this feeling of respect and love which he commands, more or less. Never demands, but naturally people are coming forward to express their love and their respect and their gratitude to him. And I was thinking about this, and this is also a manifestation of his inner renunciation. He is renounced in a way that he doesn't create any conflicts, no doubt about it, because, you know, it's only somebody who doesn't have any ambition can be such a non-controversial person. But his renunciation also manifests in this particular quality of his, that he becomes very dear to the hearts of everyone. We know that Srinivasa Acharya, he glorifies the six Goswamis of Vrindavan by saying that they're very dear to everyone, to the rogues and to the ruffians and to the normal people. Everyone is very, you know, feels very deeply and with love about them. And while thinking about this, I remembered one verse from Yaksha Prashna from the Mahabharata, where Yaksha, or in fact Dharmaraj, Yamaraj, is asking Maharaj Yudhishthira what the person have to give up in order to become dear to everyone. It's a very interesting question in itself. In fact, he asked four questions of this kind. What you have to give up to become this and that, to become happy, to become wealthy, to become free from distress, and what you have to give up to become dear, priya, to everyone. And Maharaj Yudhishthira gives a very profound answer to this question. He says, to become dear to everyone, you have to give up man or desire for respect. If you want to become dear, and every one of us has this craving in the heart, but the answer to this is simple. You have to give up your desire to be respected, and then immediately, automatically, you become very dear to everyone. And that's the philosophical or explanation of this phenomenon which we see, and which I personally see, about Abhay's impression upon people's heart. Everyone without exception loves him, and he's dear to everyone. Everyone is waiting for him. You know, people from many, many different small towns and cities, they're asking when Abhay is coming. You know, I don't even know the names of these towns and cities. But this perception of his personality and of his qualities is absolutely, you know, universal and across the board. He preaches in different countries, not only in Russia, in Georgia, in Armenia, I believe, and in Azerbaijan, you know. Sruti Dharma Prabhu couldn't even pronounce the name Azerbaijan. But Bhai Prabhu goes there. And he preaches there. And on this glorious day, I want to thank him again and again for his service, for his amazing input to our society, and for his contribution. And I hope him many, many years, I wish him many, many years of preaching to glorify Srila Prabhupada and his mission. Thank you very much.